What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Around the NBA, a podcast where I give my thoughts on the latest news, transactions, teams, and players across the league. Before I get into my topics for this episode, I wanted to apologize to you guys again. because I know it's been a while since I released an episode. I know it's been about a little over 2 months, but it's for a good reason, okay? So in my last episode, ironically enough, I mentioned that my wife and I were expecting our first child. Well, said child is here. she was born like right after that episode. She was born back in February. So she'll be about 8 weeks next week. So yeah, that's the biggest reason why I haven't been able to release an episode, just because I've been trying to figure out, being a dad and work and my personal life. And so I've had to put this on the back burner for a little bit. But hopefully now that I've kind of got that figured out for the most part, at least for the meantime, hopefully I can get on a more consistent basis to release episodes for you guys. But yeah, man, I just want to let you guys know that, because in my last episode, I did mention that once the baby was born, I would let you guys know. So yeah, baby is here. She was born a couple weeks earlier than expected, but baby was good. She was healthy. Mom is good. She's healthy. So yeah, man, can't complain. Life is pretty good right now. But yeah, that's just been the biggest reason why I haven't been able to release an episode, just because daddy duty calls. Hopefully, like I said, you don't have to wait another 2 months for the next episode. But yeah, just want to let you guys know that. And with that, let's get into these topics, man. So the most wonderful time of the year has arrived, in my opinion, and that is NBA playoff basketball. And I figured, how is this not a perfect time to come back and release an episode after being gone for a little bit right before playoff time and give my predictions for these playoffs? And I was actually going to release an episode for the play-in games, but I figured it wasn't really justifiable since there's only like six games. But I still wanted to give my predictions, so I made just a couple of TikToks giving my predictions on those play-in games, and I went 6-for-6. Not to be boastful or anything, but I am. I just gave my predictions on who's going to win and why, and I got them all correct. So, not going to brag. It is what it is, you know. but let's see how I do for these first round playoff series. There's some good matchups here, and I waited for the play-in to end, obviously, to get, you know, final seedings and where teams landed and who's facing who before I did this. So that's why I waited till after the play-ins happened. Last year, I remember I did my predictions and I went through like the entire playoffs, went from first round conference finals or semifinals to conference finals to NBA finals. And this year, I'm not going to do that. This year, I'm just going to try to release an episode for every round to get my predictions as it happens in real time, as opposed to trying to get my predictions from the beginning through the entire playoffs. So that's going to be the majority of this of the topics for this episode. There's a couple of things I want to discuss. We'll see how it goes if I do get to them. If not, I might release them. I might get into that into another episode and just save that, because there is a couple of things that I've been wanting to discuss for a while now. Considering that I've been gone for 2 months, there's a lot to talk about. And there's a lot that I've been wanting to talk about. We'll see how that goes. But for now, the topic for this episode are going to be my NBA playoff predictions for the first round. So I'm going to start off out west. I just think, I mean, both conferences have some great first round playoff series, but I think the East is a little stronger this year. So I'm looking forward to a little bit more of the first round playoff series out there out east. But, you know, the West has some great series as well lined up for us. So I'm going to start off west first. So the first series, we got the Phoenix Suns and the New Orleans Pelicans. The New Orleans Pelicans have been playing very well as of late. Brandon Ingram played great in his play-in games, especially against the Clippers. CJ McCollum has been balling since he got there. I think they're clicking at the right time. I think they're playing very good basketball. Willie Green's been doing a pretty good job with that team that he has there. Valanciunas, I think he's a very underrated player. I think he's had a very good season this year. But the Phoenix Suns are the Phoenix Suns. And I didn't really care who landed here, whether it was the Clippers, the Spurs, the Pelicans, or the T-Wolves. I mean, if it was the T-Wolves, I think the series would have been a little closer. But regardless of who made it here, I had Phoenix winning the series. They've been the best team in the league all season long. And I think they have a chip on their shoulders to prove people that their playoff run or their finals run last year was no fluke. And they're doing a hell of a job at it. And I'm a huge fan of Phoenix. I'm a huge fan of what they have going over there. I just love watching them play basketball. And I see this game, or this series rather, going to only five games. I think Phoenix just, they're just so well-rounded. They're top three defense in the league. They haven't even had Chris Paul for a good portion of the season. Or I wouldn't say a good portion, but they had him. He missed some time throughout the year, and they were still balling. Hopefully he doesn't get hurt this year, and he can stay healthy throughout the entire playoffs, because that's kind of been his stick, his MO for, you know, for the good a good portion of his career, that he kind of gets hurt in when they need him the most. So as long as Chris Paul stays healthy, I think the Phoenix Suns have a real legit shot of making it back to the NBA Finals. And I know I said I wasn't going to go into other playoff rounds, and I'm not. But, you know, that's just how I feel about Phoenix this year. They've been playing terrific basketball. And unfortunately for New Orleans, I think they're just – I'm not going to say they're too young, because Brandon Ingram has been in the league for maybe, what, 5 years now? 4 or 5 years. I mean, Zion hasn't played. They're just – you know, they're just not experienced. Is what I'll say. They don't have their full team. If Zion was there, I think it'd be a little bit more competitive. But even with Zion there, you know, they might take it to 6 games, if that. But I still see Phoenix winning that series regardless. But if I were a Pelican fan, I'd be excited to see what the future holds for us. I mean, you know, Brandon Ingram, like I said, he's young. Zion Williamson hasn't really played. That's their biggest question mark. Is he going to come back being old Zion? Is he going to be a what-if story like a Greg Oden, as I've mentioned in the past? But for the most part, the team is pretty solid. They got a good team there. They got a good, solid core. And I think they can make some real noise next year if Zion comes back healthy. But for now, you know, I think making the playoffs is good enough. And you know, we'll just have to see what they do moving forward. But if, like I said, if I'm a Pelican fan, I am excited for the next at least 2 to 3 seasons to have maybe even more, to be honest. But as long as McCollum and Valanciunas is there, and you pair them up with Zion and Brandon Ingram, as long as that core is intact for the next 5 seasons, maybe, I'm excited to see what we have in store if I'm a Pelican fan. But for now, obviously, they don't have enough playoff experience to pull off an upset against the Phoenix Suns. So I see the Phoenix Suns winning the series in 5 games. Moving on to the next playoff series, we have the Dallas Mavericks and the Utah Jazz. And this was a series I was really looking forward to until Luka got hurt. Luka got hurt in the last game of the season. And now I don't know what this series is going to look like. I don't know when Luka's coming back. They've already announced that he's going to miss game one. Looking doubtful to come back for game two. So it looks like he's going to for sure at least miss the first 2 games. What is that going to look like for Dallas? Is he going to miss the entire series? If he misses the entire series, Utah wins this series in 5 games. If he comes back, what is he going to look like? So that's another question mark I have for this series. But before this series, before Luka got hurt, rather, and early on in the season, I said, Luka's got to get out of the first round. And his best shot of getting out of the first round is facing the Utah Jazz. Because, or even the Denver Nuggets, maybe. I think he would have had a legit shot of beating the Denver Nuggets. But based off where he was, where the Dallas Mavericks were at early on in the year, they were always around anywhere between the 6th and the 4th seed. And they were right around the same tier as the Utah Jazz. I didn't think the Dallas Mavericks could beat Phoenix Suns. I didn't think they could beat Memphis. And I definitely don't think they can beat Golden State. So I said, the best chance for Luka to get out of the first round is either Utah or Denver. He's got one of those matchups. But it's unfortunate that he got hurt, because the whole narrative that we've been hearing of Luka not being as good as Luka can be, or whatever, or what have you, or the question marks, rather, the biggest question marks that we have, that I've heard surrounding Luka, is him not being able to get past the first round. And this was his best opportunity to get past that first round criticism that he's been hearing for the last 2 years. So I'm a little disappointed that he got hurt. And a lot of people are questioning the fact that he was even out in that game, because I think he got hurt towards the end of the fourth quarter or in the middle. Like, I don't know if it was the middle or the end, but I think Dallas was already up, or the game was basically over and he was still out there and he got hurt. So obviously that's going to be the biggest question mark because of that. And I don't know how Luka's going to look, even if he comes back in this series. I have the Utah Jazz winning the series, and at least, I'm going to say 6 games, but I can see this being over in five if Luka doesn't come back. And even if Luka does come back, what is he going to look like? So because of the question marks surrounding Luka, I have the Utah Jazz winning the series, and it's unfortunate for Luka because I was really hoping for him to get out of the first round so he can get over that first round hump, that criticism that he's been receiving, but it doesn't, I don't know. There's a lot of question marks, obviously, so we'll see how this plays out. But for now, I have the Utah Jazz winning this first round series. But if Luka was healthy and Luka was, you know, Luka, I would have had the Dallas Mavericks winning the series in six games. But like I said, because of his injury, Utah Jazz in six. Moving on to the next series, we have the Golden State Warriors and the Denver Nuggets. And this one would have been a really good series if Denver was fully healthy. Like, this would have been a fantastic series to witness. But because Denver isn't fully healthy, it's hard for me to pick them. But Golden State has had, you know, their fair share of injuries this year. Steph is expected to come back for game one. But what is he going to look like? Obviously, I think he's going to be fine because he has missed a good amount of time for him to be fully healthy. I wouldn't say fully healthy, but, you know, 90 to 95% of Steph to be back for the series. And even without Steph, the series is definitely closer. And Denver may have pulled the upset without Steph. But with Steph, Golden State wins the series in six games. But like I said, if Denver was fully healthy, this would have been a fantastic series. And Denver, man, I gotta listen. What Nikola Jokic is doing in Denver is amazing, okay? And this is, I guess, since there wasn't much to talk about in the series, because I just see the Golden State Warriors winning the series in five, six games, probably six. I want to give my respect and give my flowers, or give Jokic his flowers. Nikola Jokic deserves the MVP. Now, if Giannis wins the MVP, I'm okay with that. I wouldn't be mad. But Jokic deserves the MVP. I know people, you know, are going to say he's the sixth seed out West and yada, yada, yada. And like I've been kind of discussing this season, because I kind of had this epiphany. Team success is a little overrated when it comes to the MVP conversation. You know, I think the MVP should go to the best player of that season. And Nikola Jokic, and you can make the case for Giannis as well. And, you know, he's in a higher seeding out East, but he only won three more games than Jokic did in Denver. And he's got nobody. Like, his second best player is Will Barton, Aaron Gordon. Like, he doesn't really have any legitimate help without Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. And he's got him as a sixth seed. He deserves MVP. Nikola Jokic deserves his back-to-back MVP. But like I said, if Giannis goes on and wins his MVP, I'm okay with that. I don't hate it, but Jokic deserves a lot of respect. And I don't think he gets a lot of respect yet because he's just not that flashy. He's not the most athletic. His game doesn't, you know, appeal to a lot of people. But to me, I don't understand because he's literally, to me, he looks just like a bigger version of a Luka Doncic. You know, he doesn't have the footwork necessarily, like the step back or the handles, as I would say. But, I mean, he does have a post-game like footwork and, you know, he can hit the three and he's a terrific passer. Like, he's very skillful. So I don't understand the hate for him, or not necessarily the hate, but the lack of respect for Jokic. Like, what he's doing out in Denver is amazing. He's having one of the best, if not the greatest, statistical season of all time. He deserves MVP. He rightfully does. And if he doesn't, if it goes to Giannis, I'm okay. But that'd be the only player in this MVP conversation that I will be okay with winning over Jokic, because I don't think Embiid, he deserves to be in the conversation, don't get me wrong, but he doesn't deserve to win over Jokic. So back to the series. Denver was fully healthy, this would be a very good series. It'd probably be a seven-game series with maybe, I don't know who would have won that series. It would have been close. Maybe Golden State still. But because Denver isn't healthy, I see Golden State winning this series in 5 to 6 games. So the final first-round playoff series we have out West is the Memphis Grizzlies and the Minnesota Timberwolves. And I think this series is going to be overhyped more than what it's actually going to be. Like, I've seen people say Minnesota is going to make this a tough series. It's going to be 6-7 games. I see people say Minnesota is going to win this series. And I do not see that happening at all. And Memphis has been disrespected all year long. Well, let me rephrase that. I don't think they've necessarily been disrespected. I just don't think they've been respected enough for what they've accomplished this season. They keep trying to undermine what they've accomplished because they're winning without John Morant, or they won without John Morant, so they try to undermine, you know, Morant's case for MVP. But then that doesn't make any sense to me, because it's like they're winning without John Morant and they're winning with him. Like, that's how good this team is. So I don't understand the disrespect, or the lack of respect rather, for this team. And Memphis, or Minnesota rather, I think they should have been higher than a 7th seed. They definitely should have been at least a 6th seed. They should have been higher than Denver. I think they should have been higher than Dallas. Now, I don't think they're a better team than Dallas, but based off individual talent that Minnesota has, they should have been a higher seed than the Dallas Mavericks. Now, I don't think Minnesota was going to be a top 4 team, but I didn't expect Dallas to be a top 4 team. I mean, I guess I can't say that for sure, for certainty, but I expected Dallas to be around the 6th, 5th, maybe 4th seed. But I expected Minnesota to be right there with them. And they were for some part of the season. But for them to be 7th seed and barely, they basically limped into the playoffs. You know, they had to beat the Clippers. And that was a very close game. Very close game. And the reason why I don't trust Minnesota is because of Karl Anthony Towns. That's the main reason. Like, he obviously didn't perform well in the play-in game. We all saw that. And, you know, he has a history of shrinking in the playoffs, because I mean, he's only been in the playoffs one time in his career. It was like his third year of his career. So I'm like, okay, I'll give him another chance. But he hasn't. There's just something about him that just doesn't tell me he is that guy to lead a franchise, to lead a team past, or lead a team to a ton of success. And that's my biggest reason why I don't see the series being close at all. Like, I think Memphis wins the series in 5 games. Like, it's not even going to be a close series, in my opinion. Now, I will give him a pass in his play-in performance, because I heard, I haven't confirmed this, I should have, but I heard that that was the anniversary of his mother's passing. And if that's the case, then I think we all should give him a little bit of slack for his performance that game. Because, you know, we don't know where his headspace was at. We don't know what his mentality was at. You know, that's a tough, you know, situation to be in. You know, especially being your mom, you know, your mother, and it sounds like, you know, he did have a really close relationship to his mother. So I think we deserve to give him, or he deserves to be given some slack if that is the case. I haven't confirmed that. Like I said, I've just heard that, that floating around in the internet, that was the anniversary of his mother's passing. And if that's the case, I'll give you a pass for that, Cat. But now in this series, you have to come out and perform like you're an all-star, like you're that guy. But I just don't see it. Like, he was bodied by Zubac from the Clippers. And Memphis has Steven Adams, who's, you know, I don't think he's like an extraordinary defender, but he's hard to move from the block. Like, he's a strong, solid defender, and he's a great rebounder. And then they have Jaren Jackson Jr., who is in discussion for Defensive Player of the Year. Like, I don't see Karl Anthony Towns doing a whole lot of damage to this Memphis Grizzlies team. And if they can basically take out Cat from this series, Memphis is winning this easily, because I don't expect Anthony Edwards to carry this team in his first playoff series, and D'Angelo Russell, like, I don't expect him to carry either. Like, he's their third best player, and he's been playing his role terrifically. He had a great play-in game, but, you know, I don't expect him to carry them in this first round. Like, I don't expect him to carry them at all in, like, in a playoff series. That's just not who D'Angelo Russell is. So their best player, Cat, has to come out and play great for them to have a chance, and I just don't see it. So until I see that, I don't see Minnesota winning the series, and I don't see this series being close at all. Memphis wins the series in 5 games. So now moving out east, where we have some really good first-round playoff series. Actually, I don't know. Now that I'm looking at this, I'm like, there's probably one where I think it's going to be a good playoff series. But I know some people expect at least two playoff series to be really good or really close, but I don't see one of them being that close, to be honest. But I'll get to that in a second. But the first round, first series out east is the Miami Heat and the Atlanta Hawks. Now, I am really happy to see Trae Young go out and ball against the Cavs yesterday. That was a terrific performance by Trae Young. And I don't think he's also been giving a ton of respect this season just because his team hasn't been performing great. Like, his team is, they've had to go through some injuries. They've had to go through, I'm not going to say the health protocols or, you know, the COVID protocols, because everyone's had to go through that, but they had to battle a lot of injuries this year. And Trae Young has kind of, he kept them afloat. And then until his team started clicking and started coming back and getting healthy, then we saw them kind of turn it around towards the end of the season, and now they're in the playoffs. Unfortunately, Miami's just really, really good, and I don't see Atlanta winning the series. But I think they can make it interesting. I really do. I think they have a really good team. I mean, they did just lose Capella. I don't know for how long. I mean, they were talking about it's a hyperextended knee, and it didn't look – it kind of reminded me of, like, the Giannis injury last year in the playoffs. It doesn't look like it's going to be, like, any real structural, like, knee damage, which is good, but how long is going to be out for? I don't know. And he's kind of a pretty important piece of that team. So we'll see how they handle that situation and if he comes back at all in the series. But I think just Trae Young, he's a terrific player. I became a huge fan of him after his playoff run last year. You know, he carried that team to the Eastern Conference Finals. I know people criticize him because he's not that efficient, and I'm a huge person when it comes to efficiency, but, you know, I just see his impact. And yeah, he can shoot a little bit better, but, you know, the team clearly wasn't the same without him. Once he got hurt in the Eastern Conference Finals against Milwaukee, you know, you saw what happened. So I just think his impact is just that important, and he does more than just score. Like, he's a terrific playmaker. So even though he may not be efficient, he does other things to help his team win. But Miami, I think they're just too stacked. They just have a really good team, and I just don't see them losing the series. Like, their defense is top five, I think, in this league right now. Maybe six. Pretty sure it's five, but they have a really good defense, and I believe they also have a top 10 offense in this league. So they're just really good on both sides of the ball, and they're just deep, and they're stacked. And unfortunately for Atlanta, they barely limped into the playoffs, and they're still battling some injuries. Like I said, I don't know if Capella's going to come back. John Collins is still out. I don't know if he's expected to come back at any point during this playoff series. But regardless, even if they were fully healthy, it would be a much better series, 6-7 games. But because of their injuries, and Miami's just been playing great all year long, I see Miami winning this one in 5 games. The next playoff series we have is the Philadelphia 76ers and the Toronto Raptors. And this is one where I've been seeing some people predict some upsets. I've been seeing people predict that Toronto Raptors are going to win this series, that Philly or James Harden isn't going to come up, or he's going to step up in this playoff series, and Toronto is just very underrated, and et cetera, et cetera. I don't think Toronto has a good chance against Philly, and that's one reason, and that is because of Joel Embiid. Unless James Harden goes out there and just lays a complete goose egg every single game, Philly is winning this series. Like, Joel Embiid, there's nobody in Toronto that can stop Joel Embiid. I expect Joel Embiid to average easily 30 points per game in this series, and I expect him to dominate on the defensive side of the ball. They just have the two best players in this series. Now, I know Harden hasn't been playing great this year. I expected him to play a little bit better once he got to Philly. He's been playing roughly around the same that he was with Brooklyn. So I don't know if we're starting to see him kind of digress, but I mean, he's still, in my opinion, top 10 player in this league, based off talent and skill, but he's probably closer to 10 than he is to 5 that he was at one point. But I just don't trust Toronto. I mean, Nick Nurse is a solid coach, and Pascal Siakam, he is a solid player. Like, they do have some solid role players, and some really good players in Toronto, but I just don't see them competing with Philly, mostly because of Joel Embiid. Will it be a close series? Maybe. I can totally see this series going to 6 games, but I don't really see an upset happening. So I think Philly, because they just have the better duo, win this series. Now, like I said, either James Harden lays a goose egg or Doc Rivers just has one of those memorable playoff performances that he tends to have as a coach and just completely blow this. This Philly should make it out this first round. I don't see an upset happening. So, like I said, unless Harden blows it or Doc blows it, I fully trust Joel Embiid to be able to carry them past the Toronto Raptors in the first round. So, Philly in six. Now on to the next series that I've been dreading as a fan of the Chicago Bulls, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Chicago Bulls. This isn't going to be close. We are going to get stomped. We're going to get trashed. We're going to get kicked. We're going to get zapped. We're going to get bombed. We're going to get bamboozled. We're going to be embarrassed in this first round against the Milwaukee Bucks. I don't see the Bulls winning a single game in this series. Maybe one, and that's a stretch. And a lot of that has to do with, yes, we're battling some injuries, like Lonzo. I think he's done for the season. And Caruso, you know, he had his injury, but he's back now. But even then, even as fully healthy, the way we played down the stretch of the season, like, I know we had some injuries, but just all season long, I've been saying this, I don't trust this Bulls team. Like, if DeMar DeRozan is your best player, which you can make the case it's Zach LaVine, but the way DeMar's playing, like, you can make the case, like, he is our best player, sure. But come playoff time, I do not trust DeMar. I don't trust DeMar. What I'm really hoping and really excited to see is Zach LaVine in the playoffs, because people have said, you know, he can't do this and he can't do that and he isn't as good as Booker and Mitchell and because he hasn't made the playoffs and yada, yada, yada. As long as he goes out and does what Zach does and he balls out, I'm going to be content and I'm going to be happy. That's all I care about. I don't even expect him to win a game. If they win a game, sure. But the only thing I'm looking forward to in this playoff series as a Bulls fan is watching Zach LaVine in the playoffs, finally. So he can show that he is capable to perform in the big stage. And if he doesn't, well, then, you know, I'm going to be double disappointed because we're definitely losing this series. And if Zach doesn't perform, that's going to be just a cherry on top for a season that was started off great and just completely caved within itself. But I said this early on, like, I don't trust this Bulls team and I won't trust him until we get to the playoffs, and we're here. And unfortunately we have to face the freaking Milwaukee Bucks, the worst matchup we can possibly have, because Philly would have been a bad matchup too, because Joel Embiid owns us. Like, Joel Embiid just completely, he loves playing the Bulls because every time he plays us, he drops 50, 45 and like 15 boards. It's ridiculous. And we have no answer for Joel. But outside of that, we could have had a legit shot against Toronto. Maybe Miami still would have lost. Maybe Boston still would have lost. But it would have been a much closer series than what we're going to see against the Milwaukee Bucks. So Milwaukee is going to win this, probably in a sweep. This is probably the one series I see going being a sweep. Maybe Phoenix and New Orleans. But I said that was five games. But this one, for sure, I can predict probably a sweep. No more than five games. And if this goes more than five games, then great. If they make this a competitive series, I'm going to be completely surprised. And I'd rather be surprised in a good way than in a bad way. So my expectations and hopes for this series are as low as can possibly be. But Milwaukee's just going to trash us. We have no answer for Giannis. We have no answer for that team. And okay, you guys can hear it and you guys know how I feel about this now. Hopefully we're going to get trashed, Milwaukee, in four games. Please, Zach, please. You're my saving grace in this series. You're my saving grace for this NBA season. Please just go out and just average what you average in the regular season. Just give us 25, 26 a game, shooting your 48, 49, 50% from the field. That's all I ask. That's all I ask. That's all I want. That's all I want for Christmas this year. That's all I want for my birthday, which was back in February. That's all I want is Zach to go out and ball out in these playoffs. But Milwaukee and four. Now, moving on to the final first round playoff series in the Eastern Conference, we have the Boston Celtics and the Brooklyn Nets. And I believe and I think this is going to be the best first round series in the entire first round. This series is going to be very good. This is going to be an amazing first round series. I completely see this one going seven games, without a doubt. Without a doubt in my mind. Both teams have been playing. I mean, Boston's been playing great as of late. Brooklyn, the only reason they're the seventh seed is because, you know, injuries and Kyrie being part-time player, and James Harden having to carry for a little while by himself, and then we all know how that ended. But that's the only reason, or Brooklyn, I keep wanting to say Milwaukee, but that's the only reason Brooklyn is the seventh seed. Which side am I leaning towards? Man, this is tough. This is tough. This is probably the toughest series I have to pick from. I really do. That's how close these teams are. Because for one, the Boston Celtics, I've been wanting to make a video about them for a while now. But as you guys know now why I haven't been able to, But now I have an opportunity to talk about them. And the Boston Celtics, at one point, through the first 50 games of the season, they were 25-25. Okay? 25-25. They were playing 500-level basketball. They were sitting somewhere between the 10th and the 12th seed. Since then, since their first 50 games of the season, their final 32 games, they went 26-6. 26-6, and that was completely carried and anchored by Jason Tatum. Like, Jason Tatum has been playing terrific since that point of the season. Like, he's become efficient, he's become effective. He was averaging like 36-5 or 37-5. Shooting like over 50% from the field, shooting over almost 50% from three at one point for like a 10-game stretch. Like, he was just balling. He was almost averaging a 50-50-90 at one point for like a 10-game stretch towards the end of the season. It was insane what he was doing, and he got himself in the MVP conversation. He doesn't have a legitimate case, but if he played like that all season long, he'd definitely be having a stronger case for him for MVP. But because of the first 50 games, you know, that's why he can't be in contention, like a legitimate shot at winning MVP. Like, he's in the conversation, but he doesn't have a legit shot at winning. But on top of that, they also have a defensive player of the year candidate in Marcus Smart. They are the best defensive team in the league. Now, technically, they're tied with Golden State and Phoenix, but they are the best defensive team in the league. So, because of all those things, it's hard to just pick Brooklyn because of, you know, Kyrie and Kevin Durant. But I will say the Brooklyn Nets do have the better duo. And that's why I'm going to lean with Brooklyn in seven games. Now, if they had Ben Simmons, I think I would lean a little bit stronger towards Brooklyn. But even without him, I do see them winning this series in seven games. And Boston did lose their center, Williams. So that's going to hurt them a little bit. But they can still win this series without him. That's how good they are. But I don't know. I just can't. What I've seen from Kyrie Irving this season, the fact that he's only played like 19, 20 or 20 games or something like that, and the way he's been balling, like, it's like he hasn't missed a beat. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. That's being dramatic. But in terms of basketball, like, it is one of the craziest things I've seen, like, witnessed. Because he hasn't played all season long, you know, and that just shows like how good he really is. And I'm not the biggest Kyrie Irving fan. If you guys know me, I'm not his biggest fan, but there's no denying his basketball skill and his basketball talent. Like, he is an unbelievable player. And him doing what he's been doing with the short amount of season he's played, Kevin Durant, even though he's battled some injuries, he's still Kevin Durant. I just think their duo is better than what Boston has in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. But it's not that far off because Jaylen Brown can play defense. And Tatum, some have said he's had a better season than Kevin Durant. And I don't think that's crazy to say. Based off his last 26 games of the season, I don't think that's ridiculous to say. But because they do, I believe they do have the better duo in Brooklyn. That's why I'm leaning Brooklyn in seven games. And like I said, there have been rumors that Ben Simmons may be returning for the series. And if he does, that might throw a wrench in there because he hasn't played with them. But at the same time, he doesn't necessarily hurt them, in my opinion, because they can just use him on the defensive side of the ball and just have him playmake for them. And he's a terrific playmaker. And I think he can fit in that system very easily. So I don't think he hurts them that much. But even without Ben Simmons, I do think Brooklyn Nets win this series in 7 games. But can Boston win this series? 100%. I would not be surprised if Boston comes out victorious in this series. But if I have to choose, Brooklyn in 7. So there you guys have it. Those are my entire first round predictions. I have the Phoenix Suns, Utah Jazz, Golden State Warriors, the Memphis Grizzlies winning out west. And in the east, I have the Miami Heat, Philadelphia, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Brooklyn Nets, all advancing to the second round, which would make it a very interesting second round. But like I said, I'm not going to get into that this time. I'll wait and see how my predictions hold up, and then I'll come back when the second round is about to begin and give my predictions for the second round. Now, at the beginning of the episode, I did mention there was a couple of things I wanted to discuss that I wanted to get off my chest, but I would wait to see like how how much time I took up going through my predictions, and then I would determine if I wanted to discuss those things. So I figured I do have time. I don't want to extend myself too much, so I'm only going to discuss one thing. Okay, I got several, but there's one thing that I want to discuss before I leave today. And that is this question I asked on TikTok, and I've been getting trashed for it for the last couple of days. And I posed this question about Carmelo Anthony. It wasn't necessarily Carmelo, but it was. So there was a video that came out the other day. It was the TNT post-game conversation with Shaq and Kenny and Charles. It wasn't even them. It was Shaq, D-Wade, and I think it was Chris Bosh. But Shaq had mentioned that they were discussing the Lakers and, you know, how disappointing the season was, et cetera, yada, yada, yada. And the host, I can't remember his name. I think it's Adam Loke. I think that's his name. He mentioned that the Lakers had 5 Hall of Famers. And Shaq said, well, they only have 3. So they went down the list of the players who they predicted would be Hall of Famers. And that was LeBron, Russ, Dwight Howard, Carmelo, and Anthony Davis. And Shaq admitted to there, okay, there was 4, but there was one that he excluded, and it was Dwight. So I went on TikTok and I stitched that video and I posed the question. We know LeBron James is for sure a Hall of Famer, okay? And I think Russell Westbrook has done enough to become a Hall of Famer. Dwight Howard has done enough to become a Hall of Famer. Then I posed the question, is Anthony Davis solidified himself as a Hall of Famer, and a Carmelo Anthony, outside of his non-NBA career, is Carmelo Anthony a Hall of Famer? So I guess the question was mostly targeted on Melo. Because I said, if you remove Carmelo Anthony's non-NBA accomplishments, is he a Hall of Famer? Right? So if you remove USA Basketball, if you remove his time in college, his Syracuse championship, is he a Hall of Famer? And I did this to start a question. I was genuinely just trying to have a conversation and just spark a question and spark a conversation. I understand the Hall of Fame is the Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame. I understand that. And that was all of the responses I was getting. How can you remove this and how can you remove that? That's his embodiment as a whole, yada, yada, yada. I understand. But this was my point. My point was, when it comes to when someone asks you, is this player a Hall of Famer or is that player a Hall of Famer? How many times do we have to rely on outside of their NBA careers to make a case for these players? Right? So if someone were to ask me, or if I were to ask you, or someone were to ask me, is Steph Curry a Hall of Famer? Is Giannis a Hall of Famer? Is LeBron James a Hall of Famer? Is Kawhi Leonard a Hall of Famer? Do I have to go outside of their NBA careers to make a case for them? If someone asks me, is Kevin Durant a Hall of Famer? Do I have to go outside of his NBA career to make a case for him to be in the Hall of Fame? And that was the only question I was posting, or I was posing. Without his USA Basketball and without the Olympics, is Carmelo Anthony a Hall of Famer? And rightfully so, people say, if X player or Y player are in it, how is Carmelo Anthony not in the Hall of Fame? Okay. Which brings me to my next point. If your stance is precedent that is such a weak argument because, again, do I have to say, well, Bob Cousy or Isaiah Thomas or Dominic Wilkins are in the Hall of Fame. So how is Steph not going to be in the Hall of Fame? How is LeBron not going to be in the Hall of Fame? How is Kevin Durant not going to be in the Hall of Fame? No, I don't go to that. I say, yes, Steph Curry is a three-time champion. He's a two-time MVP. LeBron James is a four-time champion. Kevin Durant's a two-time champion. Giannis is a two-time defensive player of the year. He's an MVP. He's a finals MVP. I'm going to go based off their accomplishments in the NBA. I understand that the Hall of Fame is the Basketball Hall of Fame, not the NBA Hall of Fame. But my whole point was, do we have to rely on precedent, A, and do we have to rely on anything outside of their NBA careers, B, when we ask the question, is this player a Hall of Famer? So that was what I was trying to get at, and I got trashed for it. Because people were saying, how is Carmelo Anthony not a Hall of Famer? He's a six-time All-NBA player. He's a 10-time All-Star. He led the league in scoring. He's top 10 in scoring, yada, yada, yada. All these, accomplishments that he had in the NBA. Sure, whatever. My whole point, again, on top of that, is to say the Hall of Fame is really easy to get in. Because people kept going to, Dominique Wilkins is in the Hall of Fame, so how's Melo in the Hall of Fame? Tracy McGrady's in the Hall of Fame, so how's Melo not going to get in? Grant Hill's in the Hall of Fame, so how's Melo not going to get in? And this is where I'm trying to get back to the point of precedent. Because if your argument is X player A, B, and C are in the Hall of Fame, so player D's got to get in, I might not think those players deserve to be in the Hall of Fame either. Like, I don't think Tracy McGrady should be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think Grant Hill deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think Dominique Wilkins deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think Yao Ming deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. They didn't do enough for them to be in the Hall of Fame. That is my opinion. But I have come up with a way to make everybody happy and make everybody satisfied. And it was something that someone commented on one of my videos for that. And he mentioned something about, I think it was Bill Simmons brought up this idea once of having tiers for the Hall of Fame. And I think that is a fantastic idea. I think that is a great idea. There should be levels to the Hall of Fame. You shouldn't just be able to, he played X amount of years. He had this amount of All-Star games and all he did. For example, Carmelo Anthony, my biggest issue with Carmelo Anthony is all he did in this league was score. Yes, you're going to say he's a top 9 scorer of all time. Sure. Great. He scored a lot of points. He looked nice doing it. What did that accomplish? What did that get him? You're going to say 10 All-Star games? All-Star games were a popularity contest. Like, anybody was getting in. Jordan got in at 38 and 39 years old. You'd think he was still an All-Star at that point. He was only averaging like 19, 20 points a game. And for those individual seasons when he came back from playing for the Wizards, you'd think those players were All-Stars? Allen Iverson, when he was with Detroit, was voted an All-Star. You'd think he deserved to be an All-Star that year? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like, when people use the All-Star appearance as an accolade, it's like, yes and no. Like, it's not that big of an accomplishment to me, in my opinion, because it's just it was a popularity contest, especially around that era. So to me, it's like, that's not that big of a deal. The other thing that people like to mention was he led the league in scoring. He led the scoring one time. Once. This all-time great player, he only led the league in scoring once. Or not this all-time great player. This all-time great scorer. Only led the league in scoring once. Not that impressive. He was a 6-time All-NBA. 4 of those were 3rd All-League NBA, and the other 2 were 2nd-team All-NBA. So he was never even the 1st-team All-NBA. Not impressed. So this is why I'm saying there should be tiers. I agree with that. I like that idea. At the top of the list should be the Jordans, the LeBrons, the Kareems, the Magics, the Birds, the Kobes, right? Diamond tier or gold tier, whatever you want to call it. Players like Tracy, players like Grant Hill, players like Carmelo should be at the bottom tier, right? The bronze or the copper, or the lowest tier of the low. Because I understand Carmelo Anthony, he meant a lot. He people loved him. He was a terrific, yes, he was a very good scorer. Okay, and at the end of the day, yeah, people are going to say that's the most important aspect of the game, yada, yada, yada. I don't agree with that, but I can see why he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. I get that, all right? especially like his USA basketball accomplishments and his Syracuse accomplishment, like his national champ, his national title. Like, I get that. Like, yes, because it's the Basketball Hall of Fame, he deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Yes. But he shouldn't be in the same sentence or at the same level, right, as the Jordans, the LeBrons, the Kobes of the world, which is my point. And not just him. It goes for players like Yao Ming. He shouldn't be in the same sentence as Shaq. It goes for players like Tracy. He shouldn't be in the same sentence as Kobe. It goes for players like Dominique Wilkins. He shouldn't be in the same sentence as Jordan. I'm trying to be consistent with this because that is my, you know, I understand there are certain players, to me, that shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. They just didn't accomplish enough to be in the Hall of Fame. But based off precedent, when you got players like Casey Jones who are in the Hall of Fame, yeah, these players deserve to be in the Hall of Fame as well. You see what I'm saying? But there should be levels to it. Definitely. So that is my compromise. That is my compromise. My compromise is, yes, players like Melo, Yao, Tracy, these other players that I've been mentioning, deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. But there's tiers to it, and they should be towards the bottom, right? They shouldn't be in the same sentence as the Jordans or the Kobes of the world. That is my point. So that is my compromise. Should they be in the Hall of Fame? Yes. Should they be at the bottom tiers? Absolutely.
And that's going to be it for this episode, you guys. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys follow all my social media platforms. I am on Twitter, TikTok, and on Instagram. And like I said before, hopefully you guys don't have to wait another 2 months for the next episode. I feel like I got a pretty good hang of this now. So be on the lookout for more frequent episodes moving forward. But again, thank you guys so much. And I'll see you guys next time.